Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a 5-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. May it please the court. The prosecution finds itself in a cognitive conundrum, trudging through a murky river of moral molasses. Before you sits a perpetrator of prose, a reckless weaver of words, a salacious scrivener of scandal, yea, a man who, not satisfied with the very words that have done just fine for humanity up until now, dares to dip his poisoned pen into the ink cup of so-called creativity, and plucks from his puny mind new words that he then foisters upon an unsuspecting public. These poor, pathetic groundlings, having paid their penny in search of temporary solace from their tedious and turgid existence, only to find themselves suddenly in possession of education. Their poor, simple minds cruelly expanded and filled with vocabulary. Shame, shame, and more shame. I yield to the defense.
Now, such a charge would be laughable if it weren't so cynical and irresponsible.
Cynical and irresponsible. And wait a minute. That third word. I am unfamiliar with that. Your Honor, he's done it again. Today, we travel to the Venetian waterways for a dark comedy in which love, law, and latent antisemitism swirl together in a morally complex tale that leaves us wondering who the real merchants and villains of Venice truly are. It is in Uncle William's legal tale of fleshy comeuppance where we first find the use of the word laughable. At the opening of the play, we find Antonio, who is inexplicably sad, monumentally mopey, it would be fair to say, and no one can figure out why. However, his chatty chum, Solanio, thinks he may have the answer. The only thing that can make someone this insufferable is being in love. This, however, is quickly dismissed by the melancholy merchant.
Not in love, neither.
Then let us say you are sad because you are not married.
Ah!
And 'twere as easy for you to laugh and leap and say you are merry because you are not sad. Now, by two-headed Janus, nature hath framed strange fellows in her time. Mm. Some that will evermore peep through their eyes and laugh like parrots at a bagpiper, and other of such vinegar aspect that they'll not show their teeth in way of smile, though Nestor swear they'd just be laughable. Here comes Bassanio, your most noble kinsman, Gratiano and Lorenzo. Fare ye well.
Laughable has an interesting little journey. Laugh itself came to Old English via the Proto-Germanic and Norse, the German klachen and the Norse chreja, both meaning to laugh. Uncle Will tacked on able to indicate that Nestor's jest is funny and worthy of amusement, but sometime in the mid-19th century, that changed. It was good old essayist Thomas Carlyle who would use the adjective in a rather disparaging way, writing, "Puritanism was only despicable, laughable then, but nobody can manage to laugh at it now." Certainly not, and nor could our very own Mark Twain in his 1872 The Innocents Abroad, hitting, if not below the belt, at least belt adjacent, when he penned, "The dress of the man is laughably grotesque." Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.